So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 27, Understanding Material Nature, Text Number 6.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Goswami explained very nicely in the Bhakti Vasamaja Sindhu how this bhava, preliminary stage of Bhagavad Gita, is achieved. He states that first of all, one has to become faithful, shudayandataha. Faith is attained by controlling the senses, either by yogi practice, following the rules and regulations, and practicing the sitting postures, or by engaging directly in bhakti yoga, as recommended in previous verse. Of the 9 different items of bhakti yoga, the first and foremost is chanting here about the Lord. This is also mentioned here, matkata shravanina cha. One may come to the standard of faithfulness by following the rules and regulations of the yoga system, and the same goal can be achieved simply by chanting and hearing about the transcendental activities of the Lord. The word cha is significant. Bhakti yoga is direct, and the other process is indirect. But even if the indirect process is taken, there is no success, and thus one comes fully to the direct process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Therefore, the word sadhyena is used here. In this connection, Swami Sridhar comments that sadhyena means nishkarpatena, without duplicity. The impersonalists are full of duplicity. Sometimes they pretend to execute devotional service, but their ultimate idea is to become one with the Supreme. This is duplicity. Kapata. The Bhagavatam does not allow this duplicity. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is clearly stated, Parma Nirmatsaranam. This treatise of Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for those who are completely free from envy. The same point is again stressed here. Unless one is completely faithful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engages himself in the process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, there is no possibility for liberation. So even he, after undergoing all this yoga, ended up becoming perfected by chanting the name of Ram. So, this system of yoga, this is described in detail in chapter 6 of the Bhagavad Gita, requires that you completely give up all engagements in the material world. You have to go to a solitary place like the Himalayas, the bank of the sacred river. You sit there and do your yoga asana, your breathing, your asana, etc. There's no question about the nail clippers. The nails become very long after many new haircuts or shaving or cooking. You just eat some wild berries and see growing nearby. And there's no question if a tiger comes, you can get up and run. It's a very austere system. And it's not practical in this way. I knew one boy in Boston. His brother actually wanted to do this yoga system. When he graduated from college, he went to New Mexico, went up in the Rocky Mountains. He took off all his clothes and sat there to meditate. They found him dead. He died from exposure to cold. He was thinking he'd be a yogi, like in the Himalayas. He sat there in the severe cold, completely naked, trying to do yoga, and he killed him. So it's not practical in this. I know my first attempt to become self-realized was I took some lessons from the Self-Realization Fellowship. They had me doing yoga, and it just didn't do anything. Not practical. They had me sitting in a dark room and staring at a candle. And one of my friends got by, and she completely freaked out, and she looked at my face like I was ghostly hungry or something, after staring at this candle. So I gave up that process because it didn't work. Actually, I ended up burning all the lessons. That was the one little bliss I got out of it. The other lessons was burning them. Because they weren't, wasn't practical. You can't become self-realized by doing asana and deep breathing in this age. It's not practical. But even to those who do these severe austerities, they finally come to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord anyway. So why not take directly to the chanting of the Holy Name? This is the injunction of the Brihadaranyakananda. Hadarnama, 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 Kevalam. Kalo nasteva, 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 gatena, nitha. Chant the Holy Names, chant the Holy Names, chant the Holy Names. There is no other alternative. There is no other alternative. There is no other alternative for self-realization in this age of Kali. So don't even think about trying some other process. Don't waste your time. Just take the bhakti seriously. And in this age it's possible, just by chanting Hare Krishna, following some regulated principles, taking shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, being obedient to the bona fide spiritual master, that you can achieve these stages. Bhava, Prema, these are reachable. If one seriously takes up this process of Krishna consciousness. Without duplicity, it's emphasized here. Satyena is the Sanskrit. Satyena. Unalloyed. One has to be honest. You can't be a cheater. You have to be straightforward. One has to very honestly realize, I'm in a very fallen position right now. Here I am, a servant of my senses. I'm a servant of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy. I'm not a great transcendentalist. Basically, I'm just a go-das, absorbed in serving my senses and serving my mental whims. This is my deplorable fallen condition. One should honestly see one's fallen position. Because it's only when you be honest with yourself to see actually how fallen you are that you can actually come to the platform of Goswami. You artificially think you're a Goswami when you're really a Godas. You're not going to advance. One has to realize my position, Godas. How much I'm victimized by these material senses.
And then when one honestly realizes, one very humbly realizes one's position, the servant in these rascal senses, then one can pray to the mercy of Guru, Krishna, and Vaishnavas, and actually become liberated from this slavery to the senses. These senses have dragged us lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, continually dragging us through this repetition of birth and death. Sometimes a pauper, sometimes a king, sometimes a germ, sometimes a demigod. We've seen it all, but in every situation we've never found the satisfaction we were hankering for. Because actually we're Krishna's servants. We're the eternal servants of Lord Krishna. It's not possible that we can find some arrangement for happiness in this material world. Can you facilitate a fish very nicely on the land? Maybe give him a nice asana. How about a Rolls Royce car? See, for the fish. Or how about making the prime minister in a big post? Can he be happy in any position on the land? It's not possible. It's only when you throw that poor creature back in the water that he can become jolly and happy once again. Immediately. That fish who was flapping in agony on the beach, as soon as you toss him in the water, immediately, it's full of energy also. He gets his energy from being in the water. Being out of the water, it kills him. So we're being killed by this material nature. It's an artificial atmosphere for us. We're being killed by it. But as soon as we get back into the spiritual atmosphere, the Krishna conscious dimension, then immediately become energized. So we should not cheat ourselves by running after the material energy which simply de-energizes us. We should very seriously cultivate the spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness, within our hearts. From the moment we rise in the morning, we have to bring that rascal mind back to Krishna. Yato yato nishchalati manashtantam mastaram tatashtato niyanyata atmanivimsham. From wherever and whatever the mind wanders to, its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So when you see your mind going away from Krishna, you bring it back. My dear mind, Narada Govinda Das, he's praying. Bhaja Hore Mana Shri Nandana Gana Abhaya Charanana Indare. My dear mind, please engage yourself in the devotional service of the divine son of Nanda Maharaj. That divine son of Nanda Maharaj is so amazing. Once we tune in to him, Krishna, then our mind becomes totally satisfied. His qualities, his pastime, everything about Krishna is simply wonderful. His name, fame, everything about him. There's nothing more delightful, no one more delightful than Krishna. Therefore, somehow or other, we just have to reconnect with Krishna in every minute. Even this material nature, we can see Krishna. This was a wonderful lesson when I first had the great opportunity to be with Prabhupada. It was the Bhakti Yatra in 1971 in San Francisco. And Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture there. He got up on Subhadra Devi's cart. He arrived straight from the airport. And he went straight to Subhadra Devi's cart, of course, after offering obeisances. He gave the most wonderful lectures. And mostly, there was maybe 300 devotees, maybe about 3,000 hippies. So it was quite an interesting lecture that Prabhupada gave. He said, "You have all seen God. Because Krishna says, I am the light of the sun and the moon." And then he said, when you drink water, and he drinks water once, twice, thrice, more than that every day. If every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, immediately you become Krishna conscious. He said to become Krishna conscious is not a difficult job, it simply requires practice. Prabhupada made it so simple. Actually, it is simple. As Prabhupada said, simple for the simple and difficult for the crooked. So what if I'm having difficulty in Krishna consciousness? What should I think? There's something wrong with the process, right? No. It's my crookedness. When I'm having difficulty with this process, it's my own crookedness, my own cheating mentality getting in the way. The process is very, very simple. You simply bow down to Krishna. You simply offer your, you simply pray to Krishna. You simply absorb yourself in Krishna. Very, very simple process. Even a child can do it. Doesn't have to be a great yogi. You can sit in all kinds of yoga postures. No. A simple child can absorb himself in Krishna. So we have to develop this, like it is stated in the Bible, become like a child and enter the kingdom of God. We have to have that simple, childlike mentality. Yes, Krishna is God, and I am his eternal servant. Therefore, I have no other business except to think about him, to serve him, and to love him for all of eternity. That everything I should do should simply be for him. Everything I do should be for pleasing Krishna. In this way, you see, this is called Krishna consciousness. So, we should not complicate the thing. We should not complicate the process by being super sophisticated, this and that. Simply, we should humbly take this process. Let me simply be a lover of God. Let me love Krishna. That's what Prabhupada told. When I was there with him in Atlanta, one boy, my godbrother, very fired up, Sankirtan leader, he came back with his van full of brahmacharis. And he asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? Because Prabhupada always emphasized book distribution. And so we're all witnesses, our father would answer this question. Father said, if you love Krishna. So this is really the most important thing. We want to please Prabhupada, we want to please our spiritual masters and all the great acharyas. Simply try to love Krishna. Try to see Krishna with eyes of love. To realize the Supreme Person has so kindly appeared here and known him. To bless me with his association, to bless me with the opportunity to serve him. And just try to see and be the beautiful Lord Krishna here on the altar with eyes of love. In this way, our hearts can melt seeing the beautiful Krishna who has come, the beautiful Radha, the merciful Nitai, Gaura, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. How kindly they have come to bless us with their darshan so that we can awaken our loving feelings for them. If we always try to see the deities and bow down to them in a mood of complete submission and just praying that we can awaken our loving feelings for them, then our path of Krishna consciousness will be very sublime, very easy, very nectarian actually at every minute. So perhaps there's some questions I can try to answer. At the end of the purport, Prabhupada states, the treatise Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for those who are completely free from envy. I have lots of envy, so why Why should I sit in this class? Well, I appreciate your honesty, because I have to admit I'm also full of envy. I'm here to purify myself of envy. So, whether you're free of envy or whether you're full of envy, hear the Bhagavatam. If you're free of envy, you'll be entering into the spiritual world just by sitting in the Bhagavatam class. If you're actually totally free from envy, you'll actually be living in the spirit, into the spiritual world just by hearing the Bhagavatam. And for neophytes like me, who are full of envy, while you sit here to hear her talk about Bhagavatam, to pray to get free of this anger. So it's good for the envious and for the non-envious both. How yoga process could be combined with bhakti process? It's not necessary. Prabhupada allowed his disciples who wanted to do asanas to do that. He didn't say no. For your health, it's good. But in terms of your Krishna consciousness, you don't need to do yoga asanas for your Krishna consciousness. It's not necessary. If you think you have to do them for your Krishna consciousness, there's something you don't understand what is Krishna consciousness. You do not require yoga asanas. Prabhupada never said, okay, first Mangalarti, then Tulsi worship, then Japa, then yoga asanas, and then Bhagavatam class. He never made yoga asanas part of our program. Okay? If you want to do it on the side for health, that's okay. It's not part of the official program that Prabhupada gave us. And you're not going to become self-realized by doing yoga asanas. What is the benefit of Kadashi? Kadashi is to help us awaken pure love of God. What is the benefit of the Tulsi tree? Tulsi is not just a tree. Tulsi is a pure devotee of Krishna who is so mercifully kind so that we can, because Krishna wants her leaves with his offerings. She's come to help us serve Krishna by giving her leaves. She is a great pure devotee. And actually, you see, the pure devotees, we just hear about them in the Bhagavatam, the great devotees. But this is a pure devotee who's actually appeared. We hear about Prabhupada, but he's gone, physically gone. But here is a pure devotee who's physically present with us. So this is the greatest blessing. One of the great pure devotees is actually here present with us. When I joined ISKCON, Tulsi worship had not been introduced yet. But shortly after I joined, it was introduced. I remember it was so wonderful. Oh, something new. Prabhupada has given us something new called Tulsi worship. It was so exciting. We could dance around the tree. Really, really special thing. How do you believe in God? Well, actually, we don't believe in God. We know God. It's like someone said, do you believe in this friend of yours? No, I know him. It's not that I believe in him. So others may say they believe in God. It's like in the U.S. currency, it says, in God we trust. But how much do they really trust God? It's a slogan. Yeah, I believe in God. I believe that God exists. But do you actually know God? So in Krishna consciousness, we don't believe in God, we know God. We know His name, His address, everything. His associates, His pastimes, what He likes to wear, like what He likes to eat. We know God. Not that we believe in God. Believe in God means you have faith in God. Are you one of those religious sentimentalists who think that there's a God? You see, someone says, would you believe in? Atheists may say, do you believe in God? You're one of those fools who believe in God. So, not that we believe in God, we know God. We see Him every day on the altar. We experience God directly in front of His holy name. We associate with God every day. We know God. And that knowing God increases the more that our love becomes manifest. How did Krishna make the material world? It actually comes from the breathing and it comes from the exhalation of Mahavishnu. Krishna's expansion of an expansion of an expansion. Mahavishnu lies down in a corner of the spiritual world. And from his breathing and from the pores of his skin, when he exhales, an unlimited number of universes come emanating out of his transcendental body. In each and every universe, he further expands himself as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, lying down in the bottom of that universe in an ocean called Garbhadak water. And then from the navel of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu comes a lotus flower from which the Brahma the Lord Brahma of that particular universe is born. Our universe is rather small, so our Brahma only has four heads. There's other universes which are much bigger. Brahma has 40 heads, 400 heads, 4,000 heads, 40,000 heads, you get the idea. So that's how it comes. And then Brahma is the secondary creator. He's empowered to do the rest of the, fill in the universe with all the living beings, etc. Why is hearing important? If you don't hear Krishna, how can you say Krishna? Before you can chant Hare Krishna, you must first hear Hare Krishna. So all the whole process begins with hearing. That's the foundation of the process of spiritual awakening. I feel that I'm being a hypocrite while performing Krishna consciousness. That means you're developing some genuine humility. That's very good. You're feeling yourself incomplete and imperfect. That's very, very good. But actually, it's not hypocritical. It's following the order of higher authorities. The Krishna himself and the great acharyas, they have instructed us, we must do this. We must bow down to the Lord. We must chant his holy names. We must offer our food to him. These instructions are coming down from God himself and the great acharyas. So to be obedient to these great acharyas, that's not hypocrisy, that is our duty. If you think you're a great devotee, that's hypocrisy, because actually we're not great devotees. We're very fallen, just beginners. How can I feel to be grateful to Srila Prabhupada? Just realize how dependent you are on Prabhupada for everything you have. Prasada, if it wasn't for Prabhupada, we wouldn't have prasada. If it wasn't for Prabhupada, we wouldn't know to chant Hare Krishna. If it wasn't for Prabhupada, we wouldn't know to give up illicit sex and eating intoxication again. If it wasn't for Prabhupada, I would probably be in an insane asylum, locked in an insane asylum, in the direction I was heading. The indebtedness we have to Srila Prabhupada is unlimited. How do we keep committed to our regular service? By doing it every day. Sometimes it becomes very mechanical. We do it as a matter of duty. That's okay. Try to do it with feelings of love, and even if you don't have a feeling of love, do it anyway. Like Baba said, chant and the ecstasy will come. But I don't feel like chanting. No, just go ahead and chant anyway. Do the activities and the feelings will come. Even if you don't feel it, get up from among the Vartis. And attend among the Vartis. And the ecstasy will come. In this way. Do it as a matter of duty. That's second best. But that's required for those of us who are not awakened in love of God. We have to do it as a duty. And by doing it as a duty, the feeling will come in due course. Why Krishna conscious devotees get affected by sickness? Why Krishna does not protect them from sickness? Actually, sickness is a blessing from Krishna. The Alpas, remember, were not these bodies, and he cannot enjoy these senses. The devotee sees everything as a blessing of Krishna. You could say, why the devotee gets old, most of them. Actually, everything is Krishna's mercy. We have to see like that. Then we'll never become discouraged or depressed if we get sick, or if we become an old senior citizen who's hard of hearing, or whatever it may be. We'll never become depressed. You see, everything is a special loving kindness of Krishna to help me come back to him as soon as possible. What should be our mood while preaching to others? Compassion, tolerance, mercy. Most of the time, the sense of recognition is there within the heart. That's called a neophyte. He wants to be recognized. is a great this and a great that.
But your preaching will not be very effective.
You're in the mood of serving, trying to help this person, feeling compassion for this person. That's when your preaching will really become powerful and effective. So, but I'm tinged by the desire for recognition, so I shouldn't preach? No, preach anyway. Whatever your mood is, preach, preach, preach. And that will purify you and bring you to the point of compassion. Even if you have no compassion, well, Prabhupada has compassion. Unlimited compassion. Just do it as an Prabhupada's order, or your temple authority's order, you see, to go out and preach. Your spiritual master's order. Do it as duty. If there's no compassion, just do it as a duty. And that will purify you so that someday the genuine feelings and compassion will awaken within your heart. I know that's what pleases Prabhupada so much. If you feel sorry for the fallen souls and you want to help them, that gives the greatest pleasure to Srila Prabhupada. I know from my own experience of having written some letters to Prabhupada, at one time I expressed my desire to help the fallen souls who were suffering in the material world. That's when Prabhupada gave me the most, when Prabhupada appreciated the most what I'd written. He was so pleased with me for saying I wanted to help the fallen souls to go back to God. He was so pleased with that. So we should try to always have this mood of wanting to help these poor souls. We shouldn't think that, you know, they're really happy here. Their happiness is superficial only, you see. It's superficial. Actually, everybody is suffering like any material world. They're all suffering. They make a show of happiness, but nobody's happy here. If you think they're happy, you're wrong. Nobody's actually finding true happiness in this material world. Their happiness is called illusory happiness. It's not genuine happiness. It's feverish. It's not a genuine happiness. The only genuine happiness of Ananda is when you come back to your loving relationship with Krishna, the source of all existence. What is the controlling process of yoga system mentioned in translation? This is described in chapter 6 of Bhagavad Gita. This yoga system, the asana, the breathing, etc. But it's not practical in this age, as we've been discussing. What is more important, finishing our rounds in Rama Maharta or helping in the kitchen first? You can't neglect the deities in the name of your japa. Well, other deities go hungry, I have to finish my rounds. No. Krishna has come, and it's your duty to serve him. So whatever service is required, you must do that. I know that I see the wonderful example of my godbrother Ramdas Sukha Prabhu. He was the head cook in our Atlanta temple many years ago, back in the old days, 1975-76. And it was a really fired up temple. We had bands and bands of brahmacharis going out distributing books. It was a really fired up temple, you know. And he was a cook, so he had a lot of cooking to do to feed all the devotees. He was cooking for the deities and for the devotees both. He had everything on his shoulders. So he had to go into the kitchen after Mangal Aarti and the whole day he'd be in the kitchen. So how's he going to do his rounds? You see, his service begins right after Mangal Aarti and the whole day he's cooking deity sweets, cooking for the devotees, washing pots. He's totally absorbed. So he had a very good idea. He got up at 2 o'clock in the morning every day. He'd chant his rounds, and then he would take a nap, and if everyone was taking prasad, he would sleep. And it was such a wonderful... I saw what he was doing. I'm like, this is pretty nectarian. I got up with him. I would get up at 2 o'clock. Two of us would be alone in the temple room chanting all around before Mangal Aarti. You want to chant some good rounds, try it someday. Chant all your rounds before Mangal Aarti and see, wow. There's no distractions. No one's going to say, come here, wash the pot. Can you come here and, you know, do this? No. You have no distractions at all before Mangal Aarti. And then you can do all kinds of service. You see. Mangalaji is already ready, whatever is required. I can do anything. I've got my rounds done, I'm fired up, I'm potent now. By Krishna's mercy, I've got some potency now, I've got my rounds done, and I can do whatever is required. Whatever the authorities need me to do, I'm ready. Sign me up. So, if you're finding a difficulty that you're being asked for service during the japa period and you want to get your rounds done, just remember that wonderful devotee, Ramnath Sukhaprabhu, who understood how to capitalize on his on the time that Krishna had given him, the 24 hours that Krishna had given him. It's called time management, expert time management. Is that only for corporate managers? No, every devotee should be very expert at time management. Rupa Goswami is the grandfather of time management. He said, do not waste a single moment outside of Krishna's service. So that's it. Our questions have run out. And let's see if anybody on the internet has asked a question. If you've got any questions coming in from there. No questions on the internet, so we'll stop here. And we thank you all very, very, very much for attending Bhagavatam class today. Kantarab Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. J